It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. As we celebrate this Christmas season, thank you to all the choir and the audiovisual staff. Brother Phil and his team have done a tremendous job, and I appreciate their faithfulness. They're here just as much as the choir is, and they have been faithful to put this all together, and I appreciate them and Brother Steve and all that's been done. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 26. If you found it, say amen. I'm going to read the even ones out loud, and you're going to read the odds. So here we go. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you and ask God for your divine blessing. If there's one among us today, Father, that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, may they trust him today in the free pardon of sin. Father, we also ask for us as Christians today, people who have already called upon you, who already know you as our Father, and love you and thank you. The Christmas season means so much more to us now than it did when we were children, because God, we know the reason was your love that sent Jesus. We're thankful for this day where the world takes just a second to notice. Father, may we take this opportunity to share it with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I love Christmas. My favorite holiday has always been Christmas. I love this time of year. Everyone's a little friendlier. I know it's a cliche to say that, but everybody's a little friendlier. Everybody's a little nicer. And I go out of my way to be friendly to people to help them remember that it's Christmas. Did anybody else do that? It's fun. It's like poking a dog. It's irritating to people when you're friendly. Be friendly. Go and irritate somebody tomorrow. Amen. You have pastors at permission. My pastor told me to be friendly. And you do that. You just smile and say, thank you, pardon me, hello. And you know, it's not a bad thing for us to say, thank you, pardon me, hello, goodbye, excuse me, I'm sorry. It's good for us to say those things. And let us start now at Christmas and carry it on through the entire year. Maybe it'll rub off on some folks. But today I want to take you through a little Bible study. I have been wanting to study this now for some weeks, and I had the Lord finally gave me liberty today to say, listen, this is the one, John. I want you, all right, take them through it. I am a simple person. I'm not real complex. You can ask my wife. Macaroni and cheese and chocolate and some ice cream. And boy, I've just about covered the depth of who I am. I love it. I love those things. My kids are that way. Man, she bakes cookies and leaves them out on the counter. She says I'm irritating. She bakes these cookies and leaves them out on the counter and then looks at each one of them and goes, don't you eat them. I'm going to leave now and I'm going to be gone all afternoon, but don't you eat them. And that's just like killer to a guy like me. Like, and I can smell them in the other, huh? Anybody else like that? No, you need to come over to my house. My wife knows how to bake, sure enough. I didn't get this big by accident. And but the truth is, at Christmas time, she bakes and we give things to our neighbors. And I've been trying to reach my neighbor for 3 days. I even went out there, hazarded my life for the gospel. Yesterday, knocking on doors, trying to give my neighbors Christmas candy. And they were much more happy when I showed up with salt. Amen. They were much more happy when I showed up with salt. But I want to take you through a little Bible study. And I'm a simple guy, so I slow down when I go through the scriptures. I know it's all of our goal to read a couple of chapters a day and to hear the word speak. But the truth is, I get more out of it when I slow down and just do phrase at a time. Because each phrase is saturated with meaning and with purpose and a message for me. So let's start in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, now this isn't the 6 months of the year. This is the 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now when you back up the truck a few verses here, what you find out is that the angel Gabriel has gone to see Zechariah. and told him that your wife is going to have a child. And Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were well stricken in years, the Bible says. They were way past having children. And she was actually referred to as the barren one. She was barren. She did not have children. And now they're of great age. And as it was, all the priests through Israel, the Levites, got their chance to come and minister in the temple. And they would cast lots to see, you know, like draw straws. Are you going to burn incense today? Are you going to take care of the showbread? Are you the one who's going to do this or that? Well, as it was Zechariah's job to burn incense in front of the Lord. And when he went into the temple, he wore his vestments. He was prepared. He'd gotten his heart, made sure he was right with the Lord. And he went into the temple, into the holy place, went to the altar of incense and put on fresh incense. And this was to symbolize the prayers of the saints and how our prayers are a sweet perfume to God. Did you know that? When you pray, God loves it. Some of the things you and I do aren't all that sweet. I know. That's why I'm saying be sweet to people. Be friendly to people. Why? Because it's so rare, it's almost like a perfume when you're walking in Walmart and people are jostling and bumping and you say, oh, pardon me. It's like a perfume. You know, when you pray, God just, he loves it. It's like a perfume to him to hear you pray, to hear you talk to him. Now, look what it says here in Luke chapter 1. And it says, in verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias saw him and was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. This is the mother and father of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was not sinless. He was not like Christ, who was divine. But he was still a miracle conception, a miracle birth, in the fact that they were well stricken in years. They were probably 70 or 80 or 90 years old and still and they'd never had a child. And then, boom, now she's pregnant. And this was going to be a sign in Israel. So when Mary is talking to Gabriel, Gabriel's like, hey, this is the sixth month of her pregnancy. Look here, it says, in verse number 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So we go back to verse 26. We are in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. This is the cousin of Mary. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, the angel's name is Gabriel. Gabriel is one of the seven that stand before God. Look at verse 19. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Can you imagine that? He is seeing the Father's face all day, every day, time without measure. And before Jesus came to earth and was born as a baby, he was sitting right there at the right hand of the Father. And he saw not only the Father, but he also saw Jesus glorified, with the angelic being shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Gabriel's like, I'm the guy who stands. I'm one of the seven who stands in the presence of God. He's an archangel. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that. And in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 2, I believe he's one of the seven who is given a trumpet for the great trumpet judgments that are yet to come. He is one of the seven. If anybody knows anything, it's Gabriel. But the thing about angels are divine messengers. They come to earth with a message for us or to protect us. Look here in verse number 26. It says, and the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, about 90 miles north of Jerusalem. The word Nazareth means separated, crowned, sanctified. That's what that name means. And it says here in verse 27, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, this is a fulfillment of historic prophecy. You talk to a Jewish person today and take them to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. They have been taught in their style of Sunday school since they were little, this is a messianic prophecy. We're not sure how this is going to play out, but this is messianic prophecy. If you've got your Bible, look at Isaiah in the middle of the Bible, just to the right of dead center. You'll find the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, we've sung about this verse. We've talked about this verse. The children had a play last week that mentioned this verse. But here's where it's at in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Now, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. Go back to Luke 1. Why do you think it had to be a virgin? Why was it that God was going to do it? Well, yeah, I understand that it's a fulfillment of prophecy, but why did he say that? Why did he choose that? Because it would be a miracle. It would be a miraculous conception without human involvement brought about by a miracle birth. Basically, to signify that he would be no ordinary man. Do you understand you can't buy gold with garbage? You really can't. I mean, you can't give junk for something good. You really can't. You have to give something better. I mean, try to pay your power bill with your coupons. That doesn't work. That don't work. They want money. They want the foldable kind. They want it. They want cash. They want something. You know, I had a debt of sin. Sacrificing something else that was sinful or had a debt of sin wasn't going to pay for my sin. It had to be something sinless. Well, what about the animals? Listen, the whole world on this planet is corrupted by sin. That's why things get sick. That's why things die. So God, all the Old Testament sacrifices were to symbolize the one who would be sinless. The one that could come and actually pay for my sin. So it had to be a virgin. He had no earthly father. The Bible says that death is passed upon all men. That is, one man entered the world and sin entered in, and death by sin. So then death is passed between all men that all have sinned. I am a sinner because I have an earthly father. He was a sinner who was had an earthly father who was a sinner, and all the way back to Adam. Jesus didn't have that. Why did it have to be a virgin? Because he would be no ordinary man. He would be the sinless one. But I love that. In Isaiah 7:14, it says Emmanuel, which means God with us. We see this fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. Look what it says. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 22. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. Follow along with me. It says, and now all this was done. Do you see that? Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. He would not be an ordinary man. So a virgin was necessary to be the Son of God, but it had to be a human female so that he would be the Son of Man. Jesus was just as human as his mother, but he was just as divine as his heavenly Father. On his mother's side, he was the Son of Man, but on his father's side, he would be the Son of Righteousness. On his mother's side, he would be the suffering servant, but on his father's side, he would be the King of Kings. On his mother's side, he was 33 and a half years old when he died. On his father's side, he was from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Powerful thought. But you don't get that when you race through it. Look at Luke chapter 1 again. Look at this. Luke chapter 1 and verse 27. To a virgin espoused. Did anybody use that word this week in a sentence? It means engaged. They were engaged. Now listen, a Jewish engagement was interesting. It took up to a year before they got married, because what would happen is a lot of marriages were arranged. I get that. But the bridegroom, the young man, would come to the father of the young lady and make an agreement, and there was a dowry, and then he would make a pledge, either give her a ring or give her some token for her to symbolize that he has made a promise. Listen to me. Marriage is not a contract. Contracts are put in place to limit our liability. Covenants are when we take personal responsibility for the other person. What's so great about Jesus Christ is you do not enter into a contract with Jesus. He takes personal responsibility. When you trust Christ and you come into that covenant relationship where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he now takes all personal responsibility for you. Amen. That's why you can't lose it. It's so cool. But anyway, a Jewish engagement would take up to a year. Now, the boy would give the girl some token, like a ring or something. We do that today. I gave Mrs. Mix that. Mrs. Mix said the best, she reminded me of a Christmas memory we had long ago. I know, we're getting old. But I gave her a promise ring when we were dating. It wasn't an engagement ring. It was a promise ring. I gave her an engagement ring later. But it was a promise ring that I would keep myself for her and her alone. And then when the bridegroom gives her that token, he then goes back to his daddy's house and either builds onto it or goes on his daddy's land and builds a house for them to live in. See, when you enter into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, he makes you a promise. And then he gives you the down payment of the Holy Spirit in your heart saying, listen, I'm going to go back to my Father's house and I'm going to build us a place to stay. Amen. I'm going back. And when I come again, I'm going to receive you unto myself. And that's when they will shout. Gabriel will blow his horn and you'll hear, the bridegroom cometh. And he's coming for you and I. That's how it works, y'all. It's like a Jewish wedding. So Joseph and Mary were no different than anybody else. She was not sinless, and we'll see this in a minute, but she had been given a promise by Joseph. So when Joseph heads back to go work at his father's house to build them a home, she heads to Elizabeth's house to see Elizabeth. That's why it was no big deal. Why? He's busy. She went on. Now look what it says here in verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, we'll get into more of that about David in a second. Look at verse number 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now that word blessed, highly favored, means they're supported or aided. Why was she blessed? Why was she favored of God? Because ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, they were promised that of the seed of the woman, God would send a Savior. The very first reference of a Savior is in Genesis 3. The very first symbol of substitutionary atonement was when God skinned those animals and gave Adam and Eve coats of skin to cover their nakedness. And from that day, God said, I will send the seed of a woman. And he will crush the head of the seed of Satan, but the seed of the serpent will bruise his heel. Ever since that day, Jewish women have been wanting to be the one who bore the one. See, the word Noel, as our series has talked about, means the birth, not just birthday. I mean, we all have birthdays, and some of us try to skip them, and some try to avoid them, and some aren't really trying to make a big deal out of their turning 15 in a couple of months, and we try not to do that. But that's not what Noel means. Noel means Noel, the one, the birth of all births, the one who would come, God incarnate, Noel. So every woman from the time of Eve on, wanted to be the one. How do you know that? Because when Eve conceived and bare Cain, she goes, I have gotten a man-child from the Lord. Maybe this will be the seed that will crush the head of the serpent. Every woman wanted to be the one. Look at verse 29 of Luke 1. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Yeah, I doubt she's seen angels before. You know, I wonder sometimes what I see out of the corner of my eye. I wonder sometimes, but I've never seen one. I doubt she has either until now. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That word also means grace. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That's the same thing that was said in Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now that word conceive, look at this in verse 31. Thou shalt conceive. This is a human process. The definition, I looked it up in the oldest dictionary I could find, which was Webster's 1828. And it means to form a child. The word conceive means to form a child. In Hebrews chapter 2, Listen to what this says. You got a Bible, follow along with me. Hebrews 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels." This is talking about Jesus. "But he took on him the seed of Abraham. He came as a Jew. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people." In John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God." In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that he came in the flesh. In Galatians 4:4, the Bible says he was made of a woman. The angel is telling her in Luke 1, "You're going to have a baby." In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Look at Luke chapter 1 here, and it says, verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now that word Jesus, Yeshua, means Savior. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came. He is the Savior. Look at verse 32. And it says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And the government shall be on his shoulder." See, this isn't the first person that's been promised this. Abraham was promised in Genesis 12 that through his seed would come the Messiah, that all the world would be blessed. He reconfirmed it in Genesis 26 with Isaac. He said, "In thy seed shall all the world be blessed." And then in Jacob, Genesis 49, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, "Through your seed will come the Messiah." And then on his deathbed, Jacob promised, made a prophecy of Judah and said, "Judah, you, listen, from Judah shall come the lawgiver." It's in Genesis 49 and verse 10. Listen to what it says. "Before Jacob died, he blessed his sons." And listen to what he said to Judah. Genesis 49 and verse 10, if you're following along, the Bible says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be gathering of the people be." See, in Matthew, you're going to find there's a very different genealogy for Jesus than in Luke chapter 3. I had to make a note. Yes, Luke chapter 3. See, in Matthew chapter 1, I want you to understand, David, King David was promised in 2 Samuel that the Messiah would come through his lineage. He was overwhelmed with this knowledge that I will have an eternal kingdom. I will have a kingdom. I will have somebody of my seed will sit on the throne of Israel forever. This was 2 Samuel 7. So in Matthew chapter number 1, verses 1 through 17, you have the genealogy of Jesus through his stepfather, Joseph. But in Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, you have the genealogy of Jesus through his mother's side, through Heli, her father. See, a God, our God, is a keeper of promises. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Look what it says. It says God cannot lie in Titus, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And then it says, "and repayeth them." Listen, God keeps his promises. Jesus had title to the throne of Israel by blood through his mother, verse 27. But he also had title to the throne via succession through his stepfather, Joseph. No one's going to be able to claim he is not the King of Kings, the King of Jacob, the King of Israel. No one's going to be able to make that claim. Mary, your son is going to be the one. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1 and verse 33. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." In Isaiah 9 and verse 6 it says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." This was prophesied. "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Confirming her purity. Verse 35, "And the angel answered," look at it, And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Did you know that there's nothing impossible with God? It says that in the next verse, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. How is that possible, Brother Mix? Well, if God can take a wad of dirt and blow in it and make a man, he ought to be able to take care of this little problem. You know what I'm saying? If God can speak the world into existence that she's standing on, he dead sure can conceive and make sure she bears a son. It's not a problem. If you put God in the equation, all problems cease and balance out to God. You know, because we're a bunch of zeros, but you add a one to it, you got a lot. Amen. Isn't that how that works? I'm just a zero, but you put a one next to me, whoo, now you got something. That's how it is with God, because nothing's impossible with God. Take your Bible and look at verse 38. Now it blew me away when I studied this. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. This is where I think Mary got saved. This is where I think it happened. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. What was she saying? Here I am. Just as I am. She didn't say, here I am once I clean up. She didn't say, here I am. And then put conditions on God. You know, I remember the night I got saved. All the weeks prior to me trusting Christ as my Savior, I was bargaining with God. You know, I never killed nobody. You know that? I just never have. Not in malice, not by accident. You know, I've never stolen anything real big. You know what I mean? I've never cost or hurt anybody real bad. And I'm nice to old people. And you know, I was bargaining with God. But on the night I got saved, I just basically bowed my head and said, here I am. Just as I am. I don't have any plea. That's what the old song says. I don't have any plea bargain. I don't have any bargain to make with you. I don't have any reason or merit. Here I am. Just as I am. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, she said. In Romans 4:5, the Bible says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Her faith was counted for righteousness because she believed on Jesus who justifies the ungodly. Do you understand? That was the moment she became a believer. Here I am, just as I am. Have you ever done that? I mean, what is it that you're waiting on? Well, I'm just waiting on that gushy feeling that I see people have on TV. Well, fooey on that. I didn't cry when I got saved. I just gave up on trying to earn my way and agreed with God that I was a sinner and needed a Savior. I just came clean with God and said, here I am, just as I am. That's all. She says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Now this is cool. When somebody gets saved, we are positionally sanctified. What happens is when you trust Christ as your Savior, the Father sees you through the blood of Christ and says you're righteous. You're just. You're right with me. You're just like it never happened. Why? Because of Jesus and his holiness credited to your account. Okay? Well, now that you're saved, the people around you know you ain't that holy. Right? So every day as you give yourself to the Lord, we call it progressive sanctification, and the fact that every day I'm having not to get resaved, I'm having to go, yesterday was... I'm sorry. Today, though, I'm giving myself to you again today. And I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. I'm asking for power. I'm asking for forgiveness. And then when I blow it, I say I'm sorry. And I get up the next day and I do the same thing again. And Mary, she sets herself apart in her mind. This is a milestone in her life for many reasons. But one of them is, it says, be it unto me according to thy word. Do you see that? Man, what a sweet, submissive, godly spirit. I mean, she was willing to do and go through whatever God ordained. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? God, I'm yours. I'm saved. Whatever you choose, I'll do. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. Whatever your word says, I'll fulfill. Even though I don't like it, even if it's outside my comfort zone. Be it unto me according to thy word. See, how do people go through the struggles of life? How do people go through the pain and the agony of miscarriages and children who die and just horrible, terrible things? Well, if they're Christians, they're to look to the Lord and say, I know this is going to work together for my good because I love you and I trust you. Be it unto me according to your word. You know what's best for me. I accept it. I accept it. You know what's best? I'm trusting you, not just for my salvation, but for my daily life. Until I'm taken to heaven, here I am, just as I am. Whatever you decide, I will do. You know, though her selection was of great honor, it would also bring a lot of pain. Because when she went to go see Elizabeth, she broke forth in such a beautiful litany of praise to God. You ought to read it in the end of the chapter. It's just wonderful. But you know, after John the Baptist was born, she'd been there about 3 months, 4 months. She came home. And as it is with pregnant ladies, she was showing. She wasn't married. And she wasn't with Joseph all that time. All the way up into his own ministry, Jesus was being called an illegitimate. Being said, we're not born of fornication like you are. We know who your mama is. We know that they tried to cover it up by a quickie marriage. But we know your mama came home showing without being married. You and I look back and we look back at Mary with favor. But she had to live her life. And she still said, be it unto me according to thy word. It's just beautiful. For when you get to verse number 46, look what it says. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. She never thought she was sinless. He was her Savior. She recognized, I'm going to give birth to the one that's going to save me. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. I'm nothing. I'm no one. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Have you ever just stepped forward and said, here I am, Lord. Here I am, just as I am. I can't save myself, but you can. You're born again, you know it. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You remember when it happened. You tell people who asked you, are you born again? Yes, I am. All right, have you had the second just as I am moment? And said, I'm yours, God. Do with me as you please, and I will praise you. Do with me as you please. Whether it's pain, whether it's illness, whether it's joy or happiness, because joy transcends happiness, you know what I'm saying? But, or things go good or things go bad, here I am, just as I am. Whether things, I win the lottery or I don't, whether I get to live where I want to live or don't, here I am, just as I am. I like to work and do this, Lord, but if that's not what you want me to do, you have me do this, here I am, just as I am. Have you had that moment in your life when you stop trying to bargain with God for the rest of your years on this planet? You stop trying to make some agreement about how it ought to be from your standpoint and went, here I am. I'm not much, just as I am. Won't you stand with me? We're going to have a time of prayer. This is called the invitation of the service. This is your opportunity to do business with God. This is your opportunity to talk to Him. This is your opportunity for he and you to come to an understanding. Well, basically, it's an opportunity for you to come to his understanding. Here I am, just as I am. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And to the best we know how, Father, we look to you today with our hearts open, our hands ready. Here we are, just as we are, desiring to have the same spirit and heart attitude as Mary, who willingly just gave herself for your use, for your purpose, for your glory. Father, if there's one among us today that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, they think their good works are going to outweigh their bad works. Help them to see the foolishness of that. Help them to see the futility that Satan has built into that lie. And Father, let them see the freedom that Christ has purchased for us. For Christmas is about Christ. Father, today, for us children, us, your children, burden within us the purpose you have for us as individuals and as families. Here we are, just as we are. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. Won't you come? Whatever your need is, let me pray with you. I'll pray with you. Won't you come? Here I am, Lord, just as I am.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that
if you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven?
You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
He's it. If it gets done, it's him. If it happens, it's going to be him.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
He's the one.
Worthy is your name. Jesus.
You're saved and you're going to heaven.
Lamb of God.
But are you serving? Are you just reserving that part of your life for your own things? Does he have that part of your life?
Taking
does he have your will?
Sin, my cross,
you're never going to be happy unless you're in the middle of his will.
Again,
doing
I
what he wants you to do. You're never going to be happy.
You are
never
going to
have joy. Never
going to
have fulfillment. He promises you'll have it if you'll do it his way.
When I fall down, you
here
pick
I am.
Me up. When
just
I am
as
dry,
I am.
You fill my cup. You are my
you've been
all
saved, but have you been baptized?
All.
Won't you join the church and be baptized?
Jesus,
won't you come?
Lamb of
it's
God,
his command that everyone who believes on Jesus as their Savior identify with him publicly in the waters of baptism.
Jesus,
it's his will. Won't you answer and say, yes,
Lamb
Lord, here I am.
God,
let me testify of my salvation. Here I am, just
name.
As I am.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you
as these pray, there's no reason why you should leave this building and wonder, am I going to heaven?
You are my all.
Do I know for sure? You can. You can know right now. Won't you confess and just repent from your sin? Admit to God, I'm a sinner. It's me. It's me we're talking about here. Please, forgive me. Won't you turn from your sin today? Turn to Christ.
Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
So many religions are looking for their Messiah. Ours has already come, paid the price, rose again, ascended into heaven to make a place for us. He's coming back. He will come from heaven and receive us like a bridegroom coming for his bride. He is coming. Are you saved? Are you ready to see him? Are you ready to be met by him?
Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
one more time. Sing that again.
You are my strength when I am weak.
What is it you lean on?
You are the treasure that
He's more than just a Savior. He's our King. He's the one who empowers us.
Seeking you as
He's just looking for a humble heart,
Lord,
that says, here I am, just as I am.
You are my
Use me.
All in all.
Sing that chorus.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Sing it to the Lord.
Worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And I'm so thankful that it was your love to us that motivated you to send Jesus. I'm thankful, Jesus, that you were willing to come from the sovereign glory of heaven to the slums of humanity. You came to me who was not worthy to call upon you, but loved me and took my place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking up residence inside us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding and teaching us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for letting us hear from the Father as we read the Word. Now, as we go from this place, let us take this message of Christmas. Let us take the message not only to our lost friends, but to ourselves in our prayer closet as we just present ourselves to you each day and say, here we are, just as we are. Use us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.